a very high figure. Okay? As a matter of fact, we figured this would be best to cover in our next entry, where this covers the U.S. debt. It said the U.S. debt to top $50 trillion, on paper, mind you. The country's $31.4 trillion debt ceiling was exceeded in January, and it was later scrapped altogether until the year 2025. And when we picked that piece of news, this piece of news came out, which we merged into this one news here. Moody's made an announcement and lowered the outlook on U.S. debt to negative. No surprise there. All right, let's go back to the Israeli genocidal war in Gaza. The UN made an announcement about the poverty in Palestine, where it's set to soar by more than a third if the war continued for a second month. We're in the second month right now. Obviously, it is going to continue. Who knows for how long? But it put things into perspective by saying nearly 20 years of development progress could be wiped out in the occupied territories as well. Then a look at inflation in Europe. That's always a big newsmaker. But in a different way here, the IMF made this announcement where the Middle East conflict could drive up inflation in Europe. So again, one of the collateral damages of the Israeli war in Gaza, where this conflict has already impacted energy prices, no surprise there, which could drive up inflation in Europe more generally overall. Those were the topics we picked for the InfoNews section.
Financial health of the economies around the world and its impact on countries. You can listen to Economic Divide on Mondays and Tuesdays on IRIB English Radio.
One of the things that Israel does is that it expands its settlements, which is an act deemed illegal under international law. Now, this way it can claim more Palestinian land, naturally. You would think that it is Israel that is paying for this, but believe it or not, it's the U.S. that is footing this bill to some degree, and it comes from all places, charity from the U.S. That is the focus of our in-depth section for this program. In order to get an idea here, what the U.S. does through its charity comes in this form. And it is the CFI, the Central Fund of Israel, a charity registered in New York, providing financing and investment for illegal settlement buildings in the occupied territories. Now, the money that comes through from the U.S. in this fund gets dispersed. It goes to what's called the Atzeret Kohanim. That's an Israeli organization, buys land through reclamation to expand settlements and settler population. Okay? Next. And they say that on their website. Efrat is again, an Israeli entity, company. Agricultural projects to meet the daily needs of the Zionists is what they plan. Then also through Efrat, upgrading roads and security for the settlements for expanded settlement construction. This is how all the money is spent. Next, the Israeli Land Fund, marketing land and real estate exclusively for Jews to create an ideological ownership. Again, the money that comes from the charity is dispersed, and these are the different organizations it goes to. And finally, Regavim, supporting Israeli officials for exercising military powers against Palestinians until all of the land is taken from Palestinians. That's what Regavim does. And this is what happens. Construction activities of illegal settlements from Atzeret Kohanim, it goes to this, the expulsion of Palestinians. Then the next one that we talked about, agricultural products to meet the daily needs of the Zionists, it goes for the creation of settlements. Each one of these contributes to the outcome. Next, expanded settlement infrastructure from upgrading roads and security for the settlements. And then for the marketing of land and real estate, you have relocation of immigrants that goes to the settlements. They go to the settlements. And finally, in terms of supporting Israeli officials for their military power exercises, legalization of settlements ultimately happens there. So there you have an idea about how the money from the charity in the U.S., which goes to this fund that I talked about, the CFI, and the way it gets dispersed These are all the different Israeli companies. In their website, they actually say the things that are outlined here and then how that funds the illegal settlement construction. Okay? All right, let's find out what our guests think about all this and more. We have Oliver Boyd Barrett, Emeritus Professor at Ohio and California University, who rejoins us. Welcome back to the program, Oliver Barrett. What we want to focus on in terms of the question I want to ask you is the information that people were resorting to when it came to this illegal war that Israel, the genocidal war, was waging on Palestinians. And, for example, Generation Z really took to social media and looked at Twitter, now known as X, and also TikTok. How effective do you think that was in terms of educating the masses, and, for example, the Generation Z, to get an idea about the conflict and how there's so much disinformation when it comes to Palestinians?
Well, living this is an incredibly important moment that we are living through from a geopolitical point of view. I think I tend to agree with those who feel that there is no turning back at this point. The credibility of Israel has been gravely damaged. There are very few countries in the global south right now who will feel very enthusiastic about improving their relations with Israel. I think the fostering of stronger relations between the Arab League and the BRICS, and of course there's a lot of overlap between those two categories, and other alliances incorporating the Muslim world, and incorporating countries of the global south, or we can actually now call it the global majority. But I think right now we need to be building an even bigger, greater alliance, building on the outrage throughout the world, including the developed world, or so-called developed world, including the collective West, in other words, and including particularly the Muslim countries of the global south. This is a time for global alliances in opposition to the outrage of Israel's policy of genocide vis-a-vis the Palestinian people.
All right, thank you for that. Let me bring back Charles Carlson into the picture, co-founder of We Hold These Truths. Charles Carlson, welcome back. Our guest talked about the global impact that the genocidal war has had when it comes to the Gaza Strip, but there's more dimensions when it comes to the conflict between Israel and Palestinians. People have taken to social media to have an idea about what's going on because of the biased media narratives through Western media in particular. How much of an impact has that had when it comes to shaping the psyche of the people when they took a look at this war?
Well, the question is, where does the power structure in the United States really come from? What supports this power structure that allows the wishes of the State of Israel to precede the better interests of the rest of the world? And the answer to this comes from power structures, power groups in the United States that are centered in, but not exclusively part of, the very influential Christian majority, I want to say majority of the voting people, majority of the thinking people in the United States have some affiliation with religion, either through the television or through the tens of thousands of churches that are attended by Americans.
The ongoing boycott is having a significant economic impact on Israel. The war is estimated to cost the regime as much as $51 billion. But that is an optimistic estimate of the cost of war, and boycotting Israel will add more economic pain to the regime. Muslims are abstaining from purchasing Israeli goods in order to convey a message to Israel. Boycott is considered to be part of a wider movement called the Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions BDS movement, which was formally launched in 2005 by a coalition of about 170 Palestinian grassroots and civil society groups.
Calls to boycott Israel have grown in recent years amid concern about its treatment of Palestinians. The movement targets international companies that they say are engaged in violations of Palestinian human rights, drawing inspiration from the boycotts of South Africa during apartheid. The BDS movement encourages the continued pressure on those who support Israel's genocidal war against Palestinians in Gaza.
It's time to boycott Starbucks, Disney Plus, Coca-Cola, McDonald's, Walmart and Instacart, and many other brands. I am deleting all the apps. I am no longer supporting those brands ever again because they think that what they're doing to Palestinians is okay, and it's not.
Hello and welcome to the Quick Take section. I'm Matti Apossian. When it comes to boycotting Israel, it doesn't only include products. There are different boycotts, from trade to the military, diplomatic ones. All have come into effect in this genocidal war that Israel is waging against the Gaza Strip. One of the starting points can be action from Muslim countries, especially regional ones, and that would involve boycotting trade with Israel. The following shows the respective countries and the amount of trade that they are doing with Israel. Obviously, a stop to this would definitely hurt Israel, especially at this juncture. The other boycott option would be in the arms and military sector. That is one of the biggest sectors in Israel's economy, and a boycott there would negatively impact its economy. Between 2018 and 2022, at least 35 countries imported weapons from Israel, totaling $3.2 billion. It needs to be mentioned that 10 countries have received about half of all U.S. foreign aid since World War II. Israel has received about $264 billion in foreign aid from the U.S. But some of the countries that are receiving this aid are also buying from Israel, so cutting arms sales from Israel would go against their interests. On the diplomatic front, Israel has definitely taken a huge hit from the war it has waged against the defenseless people of Gaza. Worldwide protests, for one, show how its image has been shattered on the world stage. 8 countries have recalled their ambassadors from Israel, as seen here. One country has gone a step further and has severed its ties with Israel, and that was Bolivia. And that does it for this Quick Take section.
Western media has been trying hard to control the narrative on this war, but it has failed to do just that. Media outlets like CNN, BBC, and the likes have tried to portray Israel as being the victim. One well-known CNN reporter at the Rafah border crossing, however, got an earful from an Egyptian reporter who put her in place for the U.S. and its role overall when it comes to Palestinians.
This is our problem. You own the narrative. You own the United Nations. You own Hollywood. You own all these mouthpieces. Where are our voices? Our voices need to be heard as well. We've been watching your channels, and instead of mourning our dead, instead of mourning these Palestinian children, we've been having to deal with more dehumanization of Arabs. We ask you to condemn. Where are your condemnations? With that being said, you're a country that's claimed free speech, and now we're watching an occupation, and we're watching the result of your silence, of your misrepresentation of Arabs.
That does it for this edition of the program. We're going to continue this theme with the Israeli war on Gaza. From Yikavet Tagwe and the entire team, it's goodbye. On to the next Economic Divide.
این چیزی که انسان را Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
This is a part of a speech of Imam Khomeini, the founder of the Islamic Republic of Iran, on the issue of Palestine. Quds belongs to the Muslims and must return to them. It's a phenomenon concerning the monotheists and faithful people of all age, past, present, and future. The International Quds Day is a day in which Islam is to be revived. The International Quds Day is a day in which the destinies of the oppressed nations must be determined. The International Quds Day is a universal day. It's a day for the oppressed to rise and stand up against the arrogant.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, dear audience. Welcome to a new episode of Spring of the Truth from IRIB English Radio. This is Zainab Musavi, and what we do in this program is to talk about some certain speeches and sentences of the late founder of the Islamic Republic of Iran, Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh, and then shed light on some points and lessons in these speeches in order to be used by us in our everyday life. Well, on the subject of sincerity, Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh said, soundness and excellence of deeds depends on intention, receptiveness of the heart, and observation of limits. Well, this sentence of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh is on the significance of intention and its role in the acceptance of a conduct. The element that gives importance to a person's action is his intention, motive, or objective. So, in the verse of the Holy Book of Quran, the phrase, in the way of Allah, that is, fi sabilillah, is often used, and it is, you know, it is used 70 times in the Holy Book of Quran. And thus, it is used as a warning for people to ensure that their actions and intentions be in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not for the sake of other than God or their own carnal desires.
Ya Rabbana, salli ala Taha al-Nabi wa alihi, sallallahu alayhi.
Intention is the pillar of worship and the essence and foundation of action. The most sacred acts are spoiled because of the mixed intentions behind them, while the simplest acts gain in value on account of the purely good intentions behind them. Anyone who strives in the way of God will also be guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards his path. As the Holy Book of Quran says, as for those who strive in us, we shall surely guide them in our ways. So you see, intention is the indispensable prerequisite for the acceptance of a deed. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam quotes a statement of God subhanahu wa ta'ala, I do not accept anyone except the one who is sincere to me. So you see that when sincerity is accompanied by an action, it will be so much worthy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts it. And that is what Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh trying to tell us. Okay, dear listeners, it seems that our time for this episode has come to its end. For ending, let's just recite the sentence of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh about the concept of sincerity once more. Well, in that regard, he said, soundness and excellence of deeds depend on intention, receptiveness of the heart, and observation of limits. Thank you very much for being with us in this episode. I wish that you have enjoyed it. And until another one, I bid you farewell and may Allah protect you all.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of Insights into the Holy Quran. In this edition of the program, we'll have a look at the verses of chapter Nur, the 24th chapter of the Holy Quran, and different commentary points of these verses. Brothers and sisters, let's listen to the 44th verse of chapter Nur.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يقلب الله الليل والنهار إن في ذلك لعبرة لأولي الأبصار.
Allah alternates the night and the day. Indeed, in that is a lesson for those who have vision.
So this verse, dear listeners, talks about the shift and change of night and day. And it says that this shift and change is not accidental. It is based on an exact system. A person of insight can only learn lessons from all times and all places. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَعِبْرَةً لِأُولِي الْأَبْصَارِ. Only those who have sight and insight will take lessons. The phenomena of the universe that was completely mentioned in the previous episode, in the previous verse, provides us lessons.
that we do ponder them. And in this noble verse, one of the signs of creation and Allah's grandeur, which is the creation of day and night, is mentioned. So the verse says, يُقَلِّبُ اللَّهُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ. Allah alternates the night and the day. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَعِبْرَةً لِأُولِي الْأَبْصَارِ. Verily there is a lesson in this for those with sight. Commenting this holy verse, there are stated different opinions about how this revolution is. Some consider it as the coming and going of day and night. Days come and make the night invisible, and vice versa. So some believe that this is the meaning of يُقَلِّبُ اللَّهُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ. Some others say that it means shortening of one of them and prolonging of the other one, which happens gradually, and the formation of the seasons depend on it. This is the kind of يُقَلِّبُ اللَّهُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ that this verse discusses. And finally, some others say that it refers to the changes, such as warmness, such as coldness, and other events that happen during the day and night. These are all the possible explanations that are seen in the commentaries.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
In this
word.
Series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic
approach. We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
وتمثل القرآن في أخلاقه وفعاله فيه الفؤاد تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
So, dear listeners, as we said, there are three possible explanations about يُقَلِّبُ اللَّهُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ. Allah alternates the night and the day. Some believe that it is the coming and going of the day and night, as simple as that. Some others believe that it is the shortening of one of them and prolonging the other one, as a result of which the change of seasons happen. And finally, some believe that this verse is referring to the qalb and conversion of warmness and coldness and the other events. Whatever it is, it must be mentioned that these commentaries are not in conflict with one another. It is possible that all of them are included in the Quranic phrase يُقَلِّبُ اللَّهُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ. Allah يُقَلِّبُ alternates days and nights. And undoubtedly, as it is scientifically proven, both coming and going of day and night and gradual changes of them are vitally important for man, and it is a lesson for those with sight. Constant shining of sun increases temperature of the air, bums living creatures, and mentally wearies men. But when the darkness of night comes after, this shining ends, and this modifies it totally. The gradual changes of day and night, which is the factor of formation of four seasons, play an important role in the growth of plants, the life of all living creatures, the descending of rain, the storing water in the ground. These are all dependent on this very blessing that Almighty Allah discusses. So up to now, the Almighty Allah has discussed many blessings that only those with insight can understand and take lessons from. Thank you for staying with us. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.ir. Until the next program, take care.
Things always work for me, worry, and that's when faith begins.
Under the starry sky of the desert, from the very heart of evergreen forests, with the radiance of silver-colored sand, in the midst of proud mountains, closer, Iran,
these are
Salam. I'm a nature enthusiast and traveler. In Close Up Iran, I introduce you to the wonders and beauties of my country, Iran. Stay with me.
I don't remember in what book I read that we should admire the nature. You know, human soul is so intermingled with the nature that we should get out to the nature in order to find our real peace and calm. Actually, nature is where we find the truth. a little philosophical. Okay, I've made a trip to Tabriz. However, my destination is Azarshahr, which is about 50 kilometers away from here. Aha! Here's the bus. Let's go!
Thank you.
Azarshahr is located about 50 kilometers southwest of Tabriz, northwestern Iran. Sahand Mountains are situated in the east of the city, bringing a pleasant weather for it. Azarshahr city is an important place for producing pea, walnut, olive, and almond. This city has many historical attractions. Its natural attractions also include the mineral water of Taptapan Spring, Qirmizi Gul, Qibla Daqi Mount, and Musalla Hill. One of the villages of the city, which is a tourism destination, is the village of Jaraghil, with garden products like pea, walnut, and almond. Azarshahr handicrafts include carpet and klim, wood carving, wood marquetry, and weaving blanket. If you happen to travel to Tabriz but don't visit Qirmizi Gul, your trip is incomplete. Here's a piece of paradise. Close your eyes and just listen. Listen to the sound of this spring. Oh, it's so relaxing. And here we just need to breathe. Clean air and pure oxygen. And I don't know why these trees are so green. They have very special colors. Oh my God. The combination of the green color with the trees that have turned yellow or red is very impressive. This harmony in nature is found in no painting or any other masterpiece. You just have to come see and touch it yourself. Wow, look at these magnificent trees. Oh, and those red flowers. Very beautiful. Though pictures don't say the whole truth about the subject, I don't want to miss my memory being here beside these flower bushes. Aha, good. Now what I need is drinking a cup of Iranian tea beside this river and, of course, these red flowers. Aha, and I've brought the delicious baklava of Tabriz, which is a very special sweet of this region. Great. Well, I continue my tour
to one of the villages of Azarshahr, which is called Jaragil. Wow! I think this village is a gateway to history. You can't believe that there is a mosque which is carved in the heart of the mountain. How interesting. Let's go inside. Oh my God. You feel like you've entered a cave. Oh, I can't figure out how people carved this place inside the mountain. Incredible. And here I continue my way into the corridor. Oh, look at this red carpet. Beautiful. And this is the rocky Shabistan of the mosque. It has two columns. Very magnificent. It's interesting to note that it's made without any special construction material. Even its door and windows are carved stones. Oh, I will have my noon prayers here. Even praying in this place feels good. Heard about the advantages of mineral-rich natural spas? I am now near Taptapan Spring. This spring is located 5 kilometers from Azarshahr. This spring comes from the heart of the Sahand Mountain. The mineral water has a proportion of gaseous materials as well as iron. And I've heard that its properties are beneficial for blood and the digestive system. Actually, it's a huge wealth. It's beautiful and at the same time healthy. Of course, there are still other spectacular places in Azarshahr, but I have to go back to Tabriz and get a ticket to Tehran as I have a class tomorrow. Maybe another time.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri was salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now let's listen to Sheikh Salim Bimji.
I want to draw some inspiration from a verse of the Quran as well tonight. And this is from verse number 13 of surah number 45. And you might think, well, does the Quran speak about technology? Well, not directly. Allah doesn't speak about smartphones or the usage of technology per se, but we do have some indications in the Quran, as in this verse, about the power or the ability that God has given us. So he says in verse number 13 of Surah 45, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مِنْهُ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Allah says, it is He, Allah, who has made of service to you whatever is in the heavens and on the earth. All is from Allah as a gift to His servants. Surely in this there are clear signs for a people who reflect. Allah is telling us, brothers and sisters, that all that you and I have on earth till today, and all that we will have until the 12th Imam comes, until the end of this world, is because Allah has made this earth and everything in it subservient. We have become the khulafa, the inheritors of this earth. We have become custodians over this earth. Allah has given us the ability, well, not us as Muslims, but He's given others the ability to travel to the moon, to go into outer space. Allah has given us the ability to create technology. The smartphone is something that, yes, somebody created in a factory, in a laboratory, came up, engineers designed it, they physically made it. But this is all because Allah has given us the ability. Human beings have got this aql, this intellect, the mind, and we have been able to make it to this stage so far. You know, and if you and I think that what we have today is amazing, you should look into the hadith, because hadith tell us that what all of the prophets brought to humanity and what the first 11 imams gave us, all of the blessings from Adam up until the time of the 11th imam, hadith tell us this is equal to two letters of the alphabet. So it's a very small percentage of all of the knowledge that humanity has been given so far, and what we reach to up to the heavens, up to the planets, up to, you know, the farthest reaches of the universe and beyond, whatever we have is a very small, through a very small percentage of knowledge that Allah has bestowed upon us. But the hadith say when the 12th imam makes his return, and we know that it won't be easy in the beginning, there are a lot of uphill battles the imam will have to face. There will be wars, there will be famine, there will be, you know, chaos and destruction and mayhem for a time period. But then once things settle down, the imam establishes his government. The hadith say then the imam will complete our knowledge. He will complete all that we are yearning to have. You know, things that people are talking about today, the metaverse and, you know, all of these things, what we see in the movies about people being teleported from here to there. Maybe these things will become a reality. Maybe a day will come when we will have what is seen as science fiction will become fact. It will become a reality of the world that we will be experiencing. But let me just actually, before I go forward, let me just mention a hadith about this from our sixth Imam, Imam Jafar ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq, alayhi salatu wassalam. This is not just a hadith I found, but this is a hadith I'm quoting from senior scholars who have mentioned this hadith in their works of the 12th Imam. And the hadith mentions this from the 6th Imam. He says, when our Qayyim rises up, meaning our 12th Imam, when he makes his duhur and the movement moves forward and it progresses towards his eventual success, the Imam says, Allah will enhance the audio-visual powers of our Shia in such a manner that the imam will talk to his Shia from the distance of 24 kilometers, as the hadith mentions, while they would be able to hear his voice and see him. And this will happen while the imam remains where he is. Now you might say, well, we can do that today, right? We have phones, you can use FaceTime or WhatsApp or other apps to see somebody in another part of the world. What greatness is that? But the hadith doesn't say that we'll have a device in our hand. It says that the imam, the 12th imam, will enhance the audio and visual capabilities of the Shias. That we will be able to see and hear and interact with our imam, even though he's kilometers away from us, and maybe even more than the 24 mentioned in the hadith. So what we have today, brothers and sisters, with this technology is limited, right? It is only as great as the Wi-Fi connectivity is, as powerful as the 5G or 6G signal is. It's only as good as how long our battery life is on our device. But when the Imam returns and he perfects our intellect and he perfects technology, we'll be at another level. And it'll be also at a time where we won't have all of this corruption to deal with, because he would have done away with all of the, you know, the corruption and all of the evil that comes from the uses of technology. But obviously we're a long way from that point. We're not there yet, right? We still have these phones and the apps that we have on it. And as believers, as the verse says, that Allah has given us the right to create this by making the entire world subservient to us. But the one point of the verse is that Allah gives all of this to us. It's understood from the verse as a gift. This is all a blessing from Allah. And scholars tell us that the way that we show gratitude for a gift, the way we express our shukr to Allah, is to use the gift that God has given in the way that it was meant to be used. When I get a gift from somebody, right? Somebody comes and they give you a gift. Let's say they give you, you know, a dress shirt. If you were to use that shirt to wash your car with it and to wax your car, even though now it's your property, by the definition, you have not been grateful to that person for the gift, because the word shukr, within it means that you use that blessing in the way that it is meant to be used. If you wear that shirt, then you've been thankful to that individual. You've expressed your gratitude to them. So when Allah gives us the power of sight, the power of hearing, the power of the intellect, and then we use it against His rules, when we break the rules of Allah, when we commit sin with these blessings He has given us, then by definition we are not being grateful to Allah for what He has given. And if we're not grateful, then Allah has every right to do what He wishes with us. And on the flip side, as Allah says, "La in shakartum, la azidannakum." If you are grateful and thankful, I will increase you. "Wa in kafartum, inna adhabi lashadid." But if you are ungrateful, if you are not using the blessings that God has given in the way that He expects, then He says that indeed my punishment is very severe. That chastisement can come at any time. It could be now in this world, and it may be in ways that we don't even recognize, because sometimes you and I think that punishment of God is just fire and brimstone, right? What happened to the nation of Prophet Lut, for example, or a flood comes and destroys, like at the time of Prophet Nuh, alayhi salam. No, don't think about punishments of God in our era in these ways. He won't send a storm of molten lava or fire from the skies to destroy us. No, but hadith do tell us that punishment of Allah can take place in different ways. For example, divisions within a community, when you have splits and fractures in a community, this can be perceived as being a punishment that Allah, not that Allah is giving, but through the law of cause and effect, through the sunnah of Allah, that He says when certain sins are done, there is an outcome, there is a result, and one of those results can be a separation within a community. So we recognize that punishments don't just mean instantaneous death and the wiping out of an entire community physically. No, it could mean the destruction of the unity of the community, of the ummah, of the believers, and even the followers of Abu Abdullah alayhi salatu wassalam.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
روحي كريم عظيم عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صابر مجيد
صلي على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pastoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. Welcome back to IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Viewpoint. I am Bita, and once again, I have the chance and opportunity to be at your service as the host of today's episode. And here with me, there are two dear guest speakers, Brother Ali and Sheikh Rouhani. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
As you know, in this episode, we're going to talk about the superiority of languages and language itself, which for sure is something mysterious after all these years of existence of human beings. Language sets people apart from all other creatures. Every known human society has had a language, and though some non-humans may be able to communicate with one another in fairly complex ways, but still, none of their communication systems begins to approach language and its ability to convey information. So, language for sure is something mysterious, and one thing that I want to put my finger on is about the unity and diversity of the language, which I'm going to elaborate it more. There are many languages and many cultures, all different, but all fundamentally the same. Because there is one human nature, and because a fundamental property of this human nature is the way in which it allows such diversity in both language and culture. So, here the question comes up to our mind that, as we all are aware, Arabic is considered as the most perfect and the most complete language in the world. At this part of our episode, we're going to focus on the influence of Arabic language and European languages, and specifically English. Sheikh Rouhani, let's have your point of view.